Oh, good morning, Roo. Another day in paradise up here on Hamilton Island. Beautiful it is.
Yeah, I'm making the most of it. I fly home tomorrow. It's back to Adelaide.
How many different activities have you done? I've seen you doing 10 pin bowling.
Just all in the name of keeping the kids happy, Ditz, which is very, very hard to do. Ungrateful little shits, I can say that.
Please.
And now,
did you get in a fight yesterday? You got a big cut on your head. What's going on?
I always walk into things, Ditz. I've walked into the golf buggy twice. Because you get around in golf carts up here at Hamilton Island. For people who don't know, that's all the vehicles that there are. But, I just walked into
didn't see it.
Yeah, I'm not very good at that. Hey, big show today, though.
Yeah.
Another day, another coach sacked in the AFL. This is a big season. We'll have a chat about Alan Richardson a bit later on, the St Kilda coach. Brad Ebert's going to join us to talk about his team and his injury. He could be out for the year, Brad Ebert. We'll find out more about that. The Metros will join us for a laugh. We've got a couple of big topics. We'll throw that stubby holder, highfalutin question we had yesterday about that.
Hey, what about, we've got a futurist coming on. Now, I'm looking forward to this. This fella, Dr. Richard Haynes, predicted both the GFC and 9/11. And he's got another prediction for us. We're going to ask him what it is later on this morning.
Said, the one thing he said, Ditz, is that Facebook will be extinct in 10 years.
I hope so.
There's 2.38 billion people that use it every day.
Yeah.
That's a big thing.
It'll be an interesting chat. Ruined it's here on Triple M. All thanks to Vinny's Winter Warmer Appeal. And just a reminder, you can drop off any warm clothing or blankets or pillows or anything for our homeless people at 14 scrap hotline outlets dotted around South Australia.
What a goal!
Ruined it's overnight sports.
St Kilda has sacked coach Alan Richardson, as we know. Was it the right move?
I think he was a dead man walking. There was a lot of talk last year about whether he'd even get the job this year. So I didn't think he'd done a bad job, to be honest, this season.
They improved this year, I thought.
Yeah, and they pushed Geelong again on the weekend, and they've had a lot of their senior players out. Mm. So, I think they knew that they didn't want him to be in the job next year. I think that's what it says. And the other teams that have already sacked coaches, they wouldn't want to be able to get out there and try and find the best coach for season 2020.
Yeah,
Brett Ratten's going to be the caretaker coach, by the way, who's already been a successful coach at Carlton in the past and was dumped pretty quickly at Carlton after a pretty good record. But let's have a listen to St Kilda CEO Matt Finnis.
We've had a number of discussions over recent weeks. We've walked several miles together. We've spoken honestly about where we are positioned and where we're headed.
We've walked several miles together. Wait, mate, you weren't at Gallipoli.
Hang on.
He's making it sound like they went to war together. Mate, you're in charge of a football club, for God's sake.
We've walked plenty of miles
together. You and I have walked several miles together.
Yes, we have. Downhill to the pub here at Hamilton Island.
And then we got an Uber back. We did walk back. Didn't we?
Got a golf cart back. And let's have a listen to Alan Richardson, see what he said.
You come into this business knowing that if you don't win often enough, then things will change. And it's the senior coach who's responsible for that.
He is a ripping bloke by all reports. Lots of people like him. He spent a lot of time at Port Adelaide, Ditz. And I haven't heard a bad word spoken about him. If you don't get enough wins, you get sacked in the long run. It's not a long-term job.
He strikes me as being incredibly earnest and very, very serious. Like, is he? Do you know if behind closed doors, does he have any fun or what?
Don't know enough about him, but a lot of coaches have got a different persona in front of the camera as they have in real life, but maybe that's part of it. Who knows? But they're another side, so that's North Melbourne, Carlton, and St Kilda now all looking for coaches.
Yep.
Good time to be an up-and-comer or a second-hander wanting to have another crack.
Yeah.
We'll find out more about that. Hey, Brad Ebert's going to join us at 7:40. We'll find out everything about Port Adelaide. But the talk is, Ditz, that he has done his PCL and will be out for a minimum a couple of weeks, but could be for the rest of the year. So I'll have a chat to him, which is really bad news because they play.
Port Adelaide need him at the moment. They need his seniority and his fierce attack on the ball. So let's hope he's not out for too long.
And they've got a big game against Richmond this weekend. And just on Richmond, young Jack Higgins, we know him, little live wire.
Yep.
He's got bleeding on the brain. He had a bad knock in the VFL game against Werribee on the weekend. So he apparently is okay now. He's been speaking to friends, but bleeding on the brain,
yeah, that's dangerous,
not
yeah.
what you want to hear.
No.
Down at Crowland, they take on the Bombers Friday night. We'll be giving away some tickets to that game very, very shortly. Cam Ellis-Yolman ruled out again, and so is Tom Lynch. So they've dragged on both their injuries, which is not good. Dyson Heppel was looking to get up for the Dons on Friday night, so we'll find out about him as well, Dits.
Just finally, I want to hear, Gillon McLachlan has spoken about the Gold Coast Suns and their future. Let's have a listen to him.
It will turn, and that's not happening. You know, it might be a good media discussion point and people, but this is a club that is there for the long haul. They're doing their job in growing our game up there, and they're going through a tough period, no doubt about that. And we will work with them to get them out of it, and I've got confidence in the people making the decisions. And this concept of them being a two-year time frame has got no basis, in fact.
Rue, I disagree totally. Shut it down. Get out of there. It doesn't work. No sporting franchise has worked on the Gold Coast. So we're talking basketball, soccer, rugby league, and now AFL. It does not. It's a holiday town. People are not interested in getting behind a large team like an AFL club.
So that's from a financial point of view you're talking there?
Everything.
Yeah, but that I don't know. Yeah, so if Gil's talking about financially, that's one thing. If he's talking about on-field, let's rewind 2 years, even one, 2 years to before Chris Fagan went to Brisbane. They were a basket case. They'd finished 18th, 17th, 13th for about 10 years in a row, and now they're contending for a premiership with the right coach, the right footy manager, and the right on-field culture. And now we're not talking about, we're talking about Brisbane being a flag contender.
Yeah, Gold Coast play in front of an empty stadium. There's no support.
So does GWS.
There's no support.
There's none at GWS either.
Yeah, well, we're still waiting to see if that's going to work as well.
Yeah, you're talking
they're
financially.
They're a good football team.
You're talking about financially,
You can't televise games showing an empty stadium. It's not a great look for the game, is it?
No, it's not a great look for the game, but yeah.
Anyway, we'll watch this space.
Yeah, watch this space for sure.
All right, Ruined It's here on Triple M. Ruined It's here on Triple M. Rue, last night a terrible accident down at Glenelg. The circus is on for the school holidays and a young acrobat has fallen, we think 11 metres.
11
and,
metres?
And hurt herself quite badly. A witness we've got on the line right now was there and saw it all. Alice Young is her name. Alice, good morning.
Good morning. How are you going?
Good. What happened, Alice?
We're at the circus with some of our friends and our six kids, and about 5 acts in, there was a young lady came out, began performing a half-lying trapeze act. She was only, you know, minutes into her routine when she was hanging from the ring that was suspended all the way up to the top. So it was about 11 metres high.
Wow.
And the next thing, she just fell hard to the wooden floor. It was a massive bang. And we just, for a second, I actually wondered whether it was a dummy or something that had fallen.
Yeah.
It was part of the act, obviously, it's a circus.
Yeah.
And then there were just seconds, there were just gasps of horror. Then someone came running out to her. And the next thing, all these people started running everywhere, and then a lady came out in a microphone and just asked everyone to leave.
What?
Exit the big top immediately, as quickly as possible.
What, show's over?
Yeah, pretty much, and apologised, and we all just left. It was probably less than halfway into the actual circus.
Gee.
Well, they give you money back?
I don't think
it's going to
matter
about
that.
Gee,
Alice, and I don't want to get too graphic, but did the girl just lay motionless? I mean, she would have been
bang and she lay motionless. Yeah, absolutely. And as we were all kind of filing out, I did have a quick look and I could sort of see her, stomach going up and down and breathing. So we actually wondered, whether she would make it or not. But from what I understand, that she's just broken a couple of wrists and dislocated a few things. So
yeah.
Obviously,
very
they
lucky.
Learned how to, fall properly. But, it was very, very scary at the time.
All right, so there was no safety net or anything, I take it?
No, nothing. No,
wow.
Which I was really surprised about. Yep.
Yeah. Now, what about the crowd? How did little children react? I mean, it would be a frightening thing to see.
Yep. Yes, well, I was there with six kids and some of them, under two. And, it was real. Clearly distressed, sort of stood around and some were disappointed the circus wasn't going to go on. And, trying to understand exactly what was going on. And my friend and I were in quite a lot of shock. So we just sort of stood around and then decided that even if it was going to go on, that we didn't want to be a part of that, I think.
No.
Clearly all the other performers were a lot in shock. And then the police cars and the ambulances started arriving. And yeah, everyone just started leaving.
Were they doing all the flip? Were they doing the flips and, you know, all the other things they do in the air before that? Don't they usually have nets for that sort of stuff?
Yeah, they do. Well, yeah, it was just there was just a wooden floor.
What happened to someone forget to put the net up?
Well, apparently you don't have them in the real circus. I'm not sure. This is my first ever time at the circus. I've never been. So.
You're joking.
Will you go back?
Oh, yeah, maybe one day.
Alice, thanks so much for talking to us. And, yeah,
no worries.
Quite distressing for your kids and everyone involved. Alice Young, a witness who saw that at Glenelg yesterday. And, look, it sounds as though the young girl has broken her wrists, which I think is an incredible
escape.
She's
got out lightly.
She has. She's got out lightly, but not good. Not a good situation at all. No. Hey, Roo, moving on. Yesterday, front page was pretty good positive news about the real estate industry. As you know, we're up here with McGains and with realestate.com.au. They're going to tell us all about it next. What could happen with your property if you are a property owner in Adelaide? 104.7 Adelaide's Triple M ruined it for breakfast. Roo, we have been spoiled like you wouldn't believe this week. We're up at Hamilton Island, and we just want to thank once again the great people at McGain Real Estate and also realestate.com.au. They've really, really looked after us, haven't they?
Yeah, they have. It's been a fantastic week, but we need to make them earn their money.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
They have helped us out. But
we were told yesterday that our properties in Adelaide could be going up by as much as 11%.
Yep, over the next couple of years.
All right.
Second to only Brisbane in the nation, who could go up by 20%, but leading Melbourne and Sydney.
Now, we always talk about Mike and Zoe at McGains, and Mike is with us. Mike Dobbin, good morning.
Morning, boys.
Could we go up by that much in the next year or two?
Maybe even a bit more.
Really?
Yep.
And is it sort of all areas, or do you think it's isolated?
I'd say it's across the board. Like, if you're looking to buy, you're buying now.
Yeah. So, Mike, there's people out there going, oh, this is just a real estate owner just trying to sell some houses and get his auction clearance rates up this weekend. Back it up. What's some facts? Why is it going to go up?
Well, the numbers aren't lying. We're getting 50 groups through, 40 groups through open inspections again.
What, through that, houses?
Yep.
On a weekend, you'll get 50 groups through?
52 groups through, one on Byers Road on Saturday.
Which road?
Byers Road, Happy Valley.
Right, okay.
Yeah, the whole street was just full.
Is that because you're advertising on Triple M or because it's a market top?
Most of them do say that's where they've come from, yeah.
Yeah, right.
So
you're
seriously, though, the 50 groups is a lot of people through a house, isn't it?
Yeah, that's groups, not just people. So... So 100. That's 50 cars.
It could be. Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So why do you think the market's hot? Is it because the government have helped out with loans and...
Yeah, the banks have eased. So now it's easy to get a loan.
Right.
Well, not easy, but it's easier to get a loan now.
They've dropped the rate.
The rate drops to the lowest ever.
Yep. So that does certainly flow on, does it, when they do things like that?
Absolutely. And for the first time, I reckon in 3 years, we're starting to see investors walking through our open inspections.
Yeah. Well, Adelaide, South Australian investors?
Yep.
Brilliant.
Oh, interstaters have been coming over for the last...
Where from?
Melbourne and Sydney.
Well, because they're just getting low returns in Melbourne
Correct.
And Sydney because the prices are going up so
yep,
much
they
that
believe,
they're coming here.
Yeah, they believe the next 5 years Adelaide's the place to invest in.
Scott Draper's with us, which is a very famous name. Scott could have been a tennis player, could have been a golfer, Scott
That's
Draper.
Right. Yeah, morning,
but realestate.com.au. Scott, I get the feeling that our habits have really, really changed. I remember, you know, you had to buy the Sunday paper or the Saturday paper to look at real estate, but that doesn't really occur anymore, does it?
No, that's right, fellas. It's a shift away from traditional medias and obviously with digital platforms these days, you know, the experience is pretty thorough there for consumers that are looking for property. It's a great experience. So,
isn't it? You get online and we're now not just looking at photos, we're looking at 360-degree, you know, vision and videos and all sorts of things. So it really has changed the way that we all buy real estate. Yeah.
You sticky beak every week.
I do. I actually look most days, believe it or not, because it's a hobby.
What are you looking for?
I don't know. I don't want to buy a house. Funnily enough, I'm happy where I live, but I just find it interesting, you know, looking at other people's houses. I guess it's being a sticky beak, isn't it?
Yeah, Australians have a huge passion for real estate. And when you look at the behaviour of the consumer on our platform, it's not just really looking at photos. You mentioned 3D tours and so forth. So that whole experience really is quite enriched in digital platforms.
What's the most searched suburb in South Australia?
The number one suburb in South Australia is actually Stirling. So,
is it?
Really?
Yeah,
yep. Yep. So the Adelaide Hills market, very popular at
that. Wow.
But, you know, area of Fullerton's number two, Bridgewater three, and then you've got Goodwood, Unley Park.
Yeah.
I want to ask Mike, get back to Mike from McGain Real Estate here, about some funny things that happen at open inspections. Is it? Like, I know I've left a kid at an open inspection.
That's right.
I've locked a kid in a house at an open inspection.
You've locked a kid. Mm. Or at the pubs, we lock them in the toilets. We shut up and forget to check the toilets and they're asleep on the dunny. And my kids have had to use the toilet open inspections. What are the rules?
Yeah, what's the rule with that?
People that come in to have a look at a house, what do you do?
Oh, you do get mums and dads saying, oh, is it okay if my son or daughter goes to the toilet, which, you know, you can't say no really.
No, you can't.
Otherwise, you know, oh, there could be some damage.
Yeah.
It's worse when the adults use the toilet.
If that adult's got to go, they've got to go.
I know. But
so what happens?
Well, most times everything's fine, but on the odd occasions, happened to me twice, I think, where an adult has gone to the toilet and not bothered about flushing.
Oh, get out. No.
Did you sell the house?
Oh, I don't know, actually. I can't remember. It was a while ago. But I was just thankful that I found it before the
buy or sell with my gains, but please flush the toilet. That's good advertising campaign. Hey, well done, and thanks for looking after us this week. We're having a great time up here at Hamilton Island. So to McGain Real Estate and to realestate.com.au, we really appreciate it. Thank you.
Welcome, boys.
Welcome, boys.
And there it is. Brisbane Lions run out big winners.
Thought it was one of the more embarrassing losses I've seen in the last decade.
People are ropeable, yep. I can tell you.
I don't think I've ever seen anything like it in 20-odd years of footy.
I thought the way they went after Lachie Neale and couldn't back it up on the football field was pathetic.
God, I feel sorry for Port Adelaide fans at the moment. They are a selfish football side. There's too many players playing there for stats. It's been an average side for a number of years, Luke. Yep. They won't play finals.
Nothing short of embarrassing. As a supporter, I don't want to hear any Port Adelaide players speak during the week. They've said enough. It's just deliver on game day.
Totally unacceptable by Port Adelaide. To go 7 goals down at the start of the game on your home deck is just unforgivable.
Port fans have had a gutful.
Just think it's Port Adelaide.
Yeah,
it's Port Adelaide. You can't trust them. They try and manufacture. Good teams don't manufacture. Mm. They just get the job done by putting their head over the footy.
Gee, that's scathing stuff, isn't it? From people that I respect, you know, people like Dom Cassisi calling it embarrassing.
Well, both their clubs have been embarrassing this year, unfortunately. It's not good. We don't want that. We expect more from both of them. They've got lists that should be more consistent and, putting in less shockers like they have. But it's a funny comp this year. But Port Adelaide, their best is brilliant. Their worst is really bad.
All right, let's get Brad on. Brad, good morning.
Yeah, thanks good morning, boys. How are you doing?
Thanks for joining us. Brad, I know you're a very, very proud man and you come from a very, very proud family. How do you react listening to some of the greats and people that we respect like Dom Cassisi talking like that about your football team?
Yeah, mate. It's well, the thing is, we just got a pretty disappointing performance, you know, and that's people are going to have their say about that. And for us as players, we were disappointed and really, we understand that performance was unacceptable. People are okay. We're okay with them. I'm okay with them having their say because, like you said, they're proud sort of supporters and really, respect the people amongst the Port Adelaide community.
Evo, what have you been doing down there to try and get some consistency? Because, your best is brilliant. Your worst is pretty poor. It's just a gap that's way too far. You've got enough senior players that have played enough football all over the ground. This should not be happening. And one of those grabs in that little montage there was me saying I haven't seen it in 20 years. I can't remember seeing a football side being as good as you are one week and as bad as you are the next. Why is it happening? And what are you doing week to week?
Yeah, this is the frustrating part. I guess, as a club, we've really tried to maintain that across the year in terms of the way we've responded to wins and losses and really just tried to review games on their merits and take the learnings out of them. But I guess this last patch has been really, really, it's hard to take really when you're looking at, Freo the way we dished up in the last corner there, Bulldogs the other week. Now we've got Brisbane on the weekend.
Hawthorn a while ago when you didn't score in the first quarter.
Yeah, and a lot of it, in the past I've talked about, it's been a lot of it's come in patches, but that's still not good enough. We're a proud club, we're a strong team. To be able to be dishing up sort of inconsistencies in games from a team that really shouldn't be and that can show that we can play the best footy hasn't been good enough. And for as a group, we're really, we're not sitting there going, oh, we're okay. We're only just slipping up here and there. As a team behind closed doors, we're really reviewing it hard. We're making sure that we're trying to make the changes necessary to perform. And that's where it's been hard to take because you dish up a performance like that on the weekend, and it's super disappointing.
Ivo, it's hard for you to talk about your teammates, so I won't get you to do that, but I do want to ask you a general question about selection. Now, if I'm to be really, really hard about this, there are Port supporters. I talk to the average Port person out there. You run into them in the supermarket, in the pub, wherever. People are saying, how is it that Motlop hasn't been dropped? So there's one name that comes up all the time. But again, I won't ask you to comment on that. But what I would say is, then I see a lad like Dersma left out of the side. I see Pau Pepper in and out of the side. I think selection at the moment is a little bit all over the place as well. Now, again, it might be hard for you to comment on, but can you tell us about Dersma, for example? Why didn't he play on the weekend?
Yeah, it is tough for me to comment about selection and stuff. And I want to back in my teammates and my team every week. So, I'm not going to be sitting here putting each player for this and that. But, say with next time on the weekend, I guess that was a decision that was made based on, guys being available, guys being ready, and Exie getting to a point where his form probably has dipped a little bit over the last couple of weeks.
Who's that,
Dersma? And so, so they were just keen on freshening him up a bit and giving him a week to be emergency, to hopefully get himself right again to then, fire off for the rest of the year.
Well, I'm amazed at selection. And again, Brad, in no way am I having a go at you, and it's hard for you to talk about selection, but there's another young boy running around out there who I don't think is even ready for AFL football, and he's being picked every week. It's selection at the moment is... Roo, can you comment on this? Selection is really strange.
If Dersma was rested because he's tired from a long season, I totally understand.
Yeah, but no one has said that.
That's what I'm saying. As long as it was for that, because he's had an unbelievable year, really.
He has had a really strong year, and I think that they probably didn't come out and say it's resting or anything like that, because I don't think as a team we're wanting to just say we're resting players. But as his form started dropping a little bit, they thought, hey, there's a chance to freshen him up, and I wouldn't be surprised if he's back in this week.
Yep, sure. All right, Brad, thanks for answering the hard questions. In a moment, we'll get to you in your injury. We're hoping that you're okay. More with Brad Ebert in just a moment here on Triple M.
Triple M.
Ebert leans back. Slots the goal.
On Bruins, it's Port Adelaide's Brad Ebert.
Ebert
takes the mark.
Ebert.
Port Adelaide's Brad Ebert on the line, Roo. Ebo, you've done your knee. How bad is it?
Boys. Pretty much just it looks like probably a grade 2 tear of the PCL. So, enough to... That's the sideline for a little while. It's just sort of...
How long, Ebo, do you think?
We're not 100% on time frame. It sort of depends on how it recovers. I'm in a brace at the moment, so that'll be a couple of weeks, and then it'll sort of just be ramping up from there. Hopefully the boys start getting a few wins on the board, and I can really push and get myself back within a month or so. But
do you have to have an operation?
No, there's no real operation.
Because it's
in 100% rupture. It sort of means, and I think a lot of the time with PCLs, they heal themselves naturally anyway. So there's no operation as a part of it. It's really just rest and making sure that, you get the rehab in once you're out of the brace.
Will Ollie Wines play with a fractured thumb, or he miss a few weeks?
I doubt it this week. Yeah, I'd imagine he'll be missing a few weeks. We're not 100% sure the time frame on him with that one, but knowing Ollie, is pretty tough in it, so... I think normally it'd be a few weeks, and I'd imagine Ollie would be pushing pretty hard to get himself back in.
How's the vibe around the club in general? I mean, the leaders, you're one of the older players. How players holding up? You haven't won a final since 2014, Ebo. That surprises me when I read that stat yesterday. 2014 is 5 years ago. Now, I know that's obvious, but that's a long time to go between drinks, isn't it?
Yeah.
Are the boys up and about at the moment? Are they getting angry?
Look, mate, we're sort of, like I said, in the last place, I guess the way we've tried to sort of keep the season is quite consistent amongst wins and losses. Obviously, this week's and probably the Bulldogs game as well were two that really frustrated us. And as a group, we're pretty, you're obviously set up with dishing up those sort of performances. We're not sitting here saying we're proud of the way that we went about it. So, through the club and throughout the week, I guess, you are trying to make sure that, say, Monday, everyone was pretty cut up, pretty disappointed. We reviewed it hard and made sure that we took some stuff out of it. And then you sort of, come today, I guess, the boys have really got to be able to say, okay, we've had that. We've been pissed off
for a couple of days. Now we have to switch our focus to then turn on to how we're going to beat Richmond and really try and make amends for it.
Well, you're due for a win, and if you do win and Adelaide knock off Essendon, you could be back in the eight. It's as simple as that. Hey, just a quick one.
This is a funny part of the season, I guess, really. Yeah.
Hey, before you go, Michael Voss's name's coming up in various circles. I've heard it from a few different angles about a role at Carlton. Mm-hmm. What could he be the head coaching? Could he get the job? Is he good enough? Is he ready to go back into doing it again?
Yeah, I really rate Vossi. I really rate him, and I think that he'd be a brilliant head coach.
What's his strength?
Whenever. I just think he's honest. His communication skills are awesome. He finds that connection piece with most players and can really resonate with the players. He's firmly needs to be. So yeah, I just think he's definitely learnt a lot in his time as an assistant here. And I think he's really probably just tailored the way that he coaches and learnt his sort of strengths and is able to sort of use them now. So I think I think this year especially going into more a supporting role of Kenny, I think that he's been really strong in it. So yeah, I think that if a Carlton job or something comes up, I think that the Carlton job is up, I think that he'd be a good fit.
All right. Ebo, I've got one more tough question to ask you before you go.
All right.
Yeah, mate.
2 weeks ago at the footy, you know, Roo, how the kids, they all have a creche for the players at the footy, for the people like Brad who's playing the game, they can drop the little ones into the creche.
Yeah.
A report that I've received is that Paul Stewart, who's part of the club down there, dropped his little girl into the creche and she's come out with a split lip and she's had to have stitches in her chin. Now, the only other child in the creche was Leo Ebert.
Oh, it was one-on-one.
I don't know. I'm not casting aspersions here, but Brad, can you confirm... Can you confirm or deny?
Oh, mate, he's tough. He's Arlo wasn't playing with Arlo was sharing her toys, and he just wasn't having any of it. So.
You don't let him hit girls, Evo.
No, mate. I don't think it was just as real as this. I think that it wasn't deliberate, but it did happen, mate.
Right.
Mate, I couldn't believe it when I got away from the game, and then
running off to
the hospital with Arlo. Oh, mate! Leo just got this innocent face on. Anyway,
thanks for joining us, mate. Good on you, and good luck with that knee.
Yeah, cheers, guys. Thanks. I'll see you
next week. Good on you, mate. Brad Ebert from Port Adelaide. Here on Triple M, ruined it's for breakfast. Roo, it's come out that the youngest daughter of Bob Hawke, recently deceased and former Prime Minister, his youngest daughter is challenging his will, which apparently is worth several $1 million.
Oh, it'd be worth plenty.
And, you know, he was married to Blanche Delpuget. Now, they would have been married, I'm guessing,
long time.
30 years, maybe, something
20,
like
30
that.
30 years, for sure.
Anyway, there's a fight brewing between the youngest daughter and Blanche. I want to find out more about this. How do you... Well, can you contest a will? Well, we know you can because it happens.
Yeah,
but what are the rules? Greg Griffin from Griffin Lawyers is on the line. Greg, good morning.
Morning, gentlemen. One word before I start talking. A mate of mine got picked up for driving one of those golf buggies, 0.2, and had to fly back to Hamilton Island to lose his license for a year.
Oh, no.
In South Australia? So you lose it in the whole of Australia. You don't just lose it in the state.
Whole of
you
got... Australia, Roo.
Now, Greg, why would you be mentioning that to Roo and
That's
I?
It's unnecessary, Greg. Really unnecessary.
A salient warning.
All right. Good work.
I like it. We're getting free legal advice here, Roo.
Yeah, fantastic.
Greg, tell us about wills. On what grounds can you contest a will? Surely if a person writes it out and signs it, isn't that a binding agreement?
Look, in the ordinary course... It would have been, except there's been a whole pile of legislation that all the states have brought in to enable people that really should have been provided for better an opportunity to challenge the manner in which the estate's been directed. And it happens, I think it's a very, unfortunately, high percentage of modern wills in the states are the subject of challenge from disgruntled sons, daughters, cousins, brothers and sisters. They've all got a right to do it, and it's something that's happening quite often.
But if it's updated, Greg, let's say, someone dies in their 80s and they've updated it in the last 5 or 10 years, surely doesn't that mean that, it's what he wanted or she wanted and therefore it really shouldn't be contested? I would have thought you could contest it if it was done when you were, 50 and you died and you're 80 and you've had a wife for, 25 years and, it should have been split a little bit more evenly or something.
Look, that is the argument against it, of course, which is it's my money, I earned it, and I'll give it to anybody that I choose.
Mm.
But that's not what Parliament seemed fit to do. Parliament has given this right to eligible people to challenge on the basis that they've got a greater need, for example. The daughter of Bob Hawke, for example, has undoubtedly got a greater need for money than Blanche. I mean, Blanche picks up the federal pension from Bob's, you know, 20 something years in Parliament.
Well, that
she's got a $300,000 kick just to start with.
Well, how does she get that after he's dead?
Because that's what happens to federal pensions.
They go to the surviving spouse,
judges and everybody like that, and politicians.
Wow.
The wife picks up, the pension, which is very generous as a former prime minister.
That is very.
So you're suggesting then that the daughter can in fact argue on grounds of greater need?
Oh, look, I put my money on the daughter. Absolutely. Yeah.
But what if Bob didn't like his daughter?
Well, he would have. If he didn't like her, he'd want to have a very good reason to basically treat her, you know, in a less fair fashion. So what happens is in the wills these days, you have to put in the reasons that, you know, my son Mark was the apple of my eye and did everything I ever wanted, so I'm going to give him 97% of my estate.
Yeah.
For my other five kids, none of them played league football, so I'm giving them nothing.
Yeah,
that's not going to pass muster.
So you seriously have to go into detail in your will about why you've broken it up into the way you did.
Well, absolutely, yeah. And basically, that's why I think it's really important when you're thinking of doing something which is not going to, at first blush, look terribly fair and equitable. You've got to give a reason, and you've got to go and see a solicitor who's experienced in wills and estates. And at least they will lay the foundations to allow the will to stand. And the other great thing, Roo, which is going to bring tears to a glass eye, is that the cost of all these cases come out of the estate. So basically, there might be seven potential eligible people that can bring a claim against the estate.
Yep.
And they actually do it at virtually no financial risk of themselves because the estate has to pay all the fees.
Okay. Yeah, okay. All right. That's interesting as well. Yeah. All right, Greg. Thanks so much. Good advice, Greg Griffin from Griffin Lawyers.
No worries. Enjoy Hamo, boys.
Good on you, mate.
We'll take your advice on board too, Greg. Thank you very much.
Hey, Roo, in a moment, we're going to talk to the Metros, the lads are going to join us. Listen, I saw something disgraceful at the airport the other day. I saw a bloke getting onto the plane with his own pillow.
What?
Who travels?
Like one of the
his pillow for his bed. What's on, that's not on. Sure, that's un-Australian.
You don't take a pillow on a plane, do you?
No, well, this bloke did. It's not on, surely.
He's not fair dinkum.
Nah, ruined it's on Triple M. 104.7 Adelaide's Triple M ruined it's for breakfast. Roo, you and I have come across an article in recent days written by a fellow called Dr. Richard Hames, and it's all about the fact that he's a futurist. He's predicted things like the GFC, the Global Financial Crisis, 9/11.
I wonder how he predicted that.
Yeah, I know. We'll get to this, but he's also predicted you and I will be the top-rating breakfast show in Australia.
Well,
No, he hasn't predicted that. Let's get him on. This is really interesting stuff. Dr. Richard Hames, good morning.
Good morning.
Some big, big predictions coming our way, Doc. Donald Trump will win the 2020 election. I mean, most people probably think that. Why are you certain he will win?
There's only one proviso, and that is if Kamala Harris gets the Democratic nomination, I think he'll be in for a fight. But that's most likely to go to Joe Biden or Elizabeth Warren. The other thing he needs to do is to hold Michigan, Pennsylvania, Minnesota. If he can hold those three and Kamala isn't the opposition, then he's going to get back. I'm 100% certain.
All right. I actually just want to go back a step, if I can, before we talk about individual issues, Richard. Describe yourself. You're a futurist. Now, are you saying that, do you have premonitions, or are your predictions based on sort of research and homework?
Oh, the latter.
Right.
Yeah, no, I don't have premonitions. I don't have a crystal ball either.
Okay.
So there's lots of hard work and rigor. And basically, I use machine intelligence to scan lots of documents. I mean, hundreds of millions of documents online. And also, we have a network of about 3,000 trusted sources around the world where we can test our hypotheses and ideas.
Right. So therefore, my question would be something like 9/11, which absolutely shook and shocked the world. Why or how did you predict that?
That was part of a scenarios gaming exercise that we were doing in America to look at internal security and the kinds of things that could happen. And the Twin Towers was an obvious one in New York, but we identified a number of targets that could be vulnerable to terrorist attack.
Now, I don't want to get personal about what you earn or anything like that, but do governments pay you for your information? How do you earn a dollar out of being a futurist?
Yeah, I mean, basically, my day job is that of a strategist, or if you like, a consultant. So we Right. give advice to governments and corporations around the world based on the best information we have. And essentially, it's about understanding better what's happening today rather than predicting what's going to happen.
Mm. All right, let's go with a few of your topics that you've predicted will happen in the future. Facebook could be extinct within 10 years. Now, there's 2.38 billion monthly Facebook users in the world. Their life's going to change a bit.
It's a lot, isn't it? Yeah. What I see that happening in two phases, because Facebook is in trouble at the moment in a number of ways. It's facing a number of litigations that are causing it real problems. And the younger generation are actually leaving Facebook. They prefer platforms like Instagram, for example. So I think the first phase will be that Facebook will face enormous legal problems as it tries to counter the issues that it's been dealing with today. I think it'll rebrand itself, probably rebrand itself as Instagram or some other name, okay. And then eventually it'll just fade.
House prices in Sydney and Melbourne, you think, could fall by more than 15 or 18% over the next couple of years?
Up to 15 or 18%, I think, yeah. I think the recent attempts to staunch that are just a blip on the horizon. And the markets that might buck the trend, probably Brisbane and Perth, because they didn't rise as much in the past. So, yeah, I still think there's a way to fall.
You think a popular world leader will be assassinated by autonomous drone technology? Tell us how that works.
I'm surprised it hasn't happened already. Drone technology is very sophisticated. It's becoming miniaturized. With AI, you can guide an autonomous weapon anywhere, or it can choose its own target. That's easy. That technology is available today, and it will be used. If it gets into the hands of terrorists or just people who want to have fun, you know, assassinating the next-door neighbour, that's entirely possible.
Richard, really interesting to talk to you, and we'd love to talk to you again from time to time if you're keen, because this is all really fascinating stuff. Mate, thanks so much for your
time. I'd be delighted to talk to you again.
Might have to give you a ring to get some predictions on the horses on tomorrow.
Yeah, okay. I'll study that and get back to you.
Can I just borrow your machine for about half an hour before lunchtime tomorrow?
Good on you. Thank you. Futurist Dr. Richard Hames.